السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. وبعد، قال جل وعلا: إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. صدق الله العظيم. My dear brothers and elders and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today is the concluding part of the khutbah which we have been doing for the last two Jumu'ahs. So today is the third part, and this relates to the ayah which I recited before you, which is an ayah from Surah An-Nahl, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which in the Jumu'ah khutbah it's recited almost as a compulsory part of the second khutbah of Jumu'ah. It is not a compulsory part, but alhamdulillah this is a good practice that is followed almost everywhere in the world, where we are reminded every Jumu'ah about these six orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we thought it is a good idea to look at it in detail, because if something is being told to us every Jumu'ah, which is 52 times in a year, then we better know what it is, because we don't want to be caught and and not doing those things, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we say, Allah, I never heard about it, but you heard it 52 times every year. So it's essential, therefore, for us to understand that. Alhamdulillah, we did the first four parts where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do adl, and we saw what is adl and how it is to be done. Then Allah said ihsan, and then Allah said itaizul qurba, give to your near and dear ones, to the relatives. So we looked at what is ihsan and how we should complete that, and looked at itaizul qurba wa yanha anil fahsha, and to be away from and to not indulge in anything which are among the fahushat and munkarat. Now today we will see what is the forbiddance of al-munkar and forbiddance of al-baghi, which is all forms of rebellion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with regard to the forbiddance of al-munkar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, He said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we have sent no messenger but to be obeyed by the order of Allah. So the first and foremost thing to understand is that the Anbiya, including Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, did not come to inform, they did not come to teach, they did not come to tell us some stories. They did not come for anything other than to be obeyed. First and foremost purpose of the sending of a Nabi is that he is to be obeyed. And therefore, if somebody does not obey the Nabi, even if they love the Nabi, this is not accepted from them as Islam. Abu Talib loved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than he loved his own children. And he did not just love him by saying he loved him, but his whole life he showed and demonstrated this love for Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by his every action. He supported him in everything. But what did he not do? He did not obey the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he said, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, he did not do it. So all that lifetime of love and lifetime of support does not help Abu Talib. Even though he loved the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today a lot of people are mistaken in this whole thing. This hum aashiq hai rasool hai. Very nice. So you are the aashiq of Rasul. Now let us see in your life how much of the obedience of Rasul is in your life. Zero. Zero. No sunnah of Rasul is followed. No itaat of the Rasul is there. No itiba of the Rasul is there. So what kind of ishq is this? What kind of ishq is it that you disobey, you actually go against the ahkam of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You say, I am the ashiq of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not worship the qubur. He said, do not go and make sajda and ask for help from the dead. But we do this. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. We make tawaf of the qabr. We ask help from this and that. We say, I am Ashiq of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Is then if you are the Ashiq, how come you do this? لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. You sit with a tambura and you sit with a harmonium and you sing a song and you dance and you say and the song is full of shirk. Bharde, Jholi, Meri, Ya, Muhammad. What is that? You are asking from Muhammad instead of asking from Rabbu Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And you say this is the Ishq of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Please, let us not fool ourselves. Let us not fool ourselves. All the Ishq of Allah and the Ishq of His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begins first and foremost with obedience. From obedience to muhabbah, from ita'at to muhabbah. Not some other way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we did not send our messengers for anything other than to be obeyed. So first and foremost, if the Nabi gives a hukum, it is to be obeyed. The greatest mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He sent His messengers with instructions to people on how they should live their lives in this world, so that their lives will be a source of barakah and rahmah, a source of benefit for them in this dunya wal akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave mankind alone to guess and discover and figure out what to do. Maybe they are right, maybe they are wrong. We don't know. If you figure out, who knows? And we would have 100,000 different concepts and theories. But Allah did not leave us in confusion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarified for us. And He did not just clarify for us in word, He also clarified for us by demonstration. So He sent His anbiya, He sent His kalam, and He sent His anbiya, and for us He sent His kalam, al-Quran, al-Kareem, and He sent His Nabi Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to demonstrate this Quran in life, to show how this Quran is to be implemented, how is this deen to be followed. And this is the greatest mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for which we need to specifically thank Allah. I invite you and remind you, and I remind myself, to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically for Islam. To thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically for the Sharia. Don't take it for granted. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically for this. Because it is the Sharia which makes it possible for us to live our life in such a way that 24 hours of our life, whether we are asleep or we are awake, can be converted into ibadah. Can be converted into worship. Every single thing we do can be converted into worship thanks to the Sharia of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have mentioned this in several other lectures before, so I'm not going to go into the details, but thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically for Islam and for the Sharia of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His special mercy on us, that of all His messengers, He sent to us His last and final messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, al-Qurayshi wal-Makki, Sayyidul Mursaleen, Imamul Anbiya, Khatamul Nabiyyin, and He granted us the honor of being from among His Ummah. Now, how do I explain to you what is the honor of being from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The tragedy is that we have grown so far away from Islam, and we have become so used to ignorance and to the ways of ignorance and to living a lifestyle that has no resemblance to the lifestyle of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, and is an exact copy of the lifestyle of those who are destined for the hellfire, that we have no sense of honor that has been bestowed on us for no fault of ours. Only by the mercy of Allah. We did not do anything to deserve this honor. We didn't even ask for this honor. Allah gave it to us. And that's why we have no qadr for this honor. We must change this. We must change this. The idea of saying all this is not for us to say, oh my God, what happened? No. We must change this. Feel the honor of being from the Ummah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Feel the honor of being a Muslim. Feel the honor of being a Muslim. I invite you, invite myself. Let us not be among those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them deaf and dumb. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said they are even worse than that. They are even worse than cattle. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَعَنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا ولهم عيون لا يبصرون بها ولهم آذان لا يسمعون بها أولئك كالأنعام بل هم أضل أولئك هم الغافلون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-A'raf, and surely we created many of the jinn and mankind for Jahannam. They have hearts within, they don't understand. They have eyes wherewith they do not see, and they have ears with which they do not hear. They are like cattle. No, they are even further astray. Those are the ghafilun. They are the ones who are heedless. I ask myself, do I want to be among those who the angels will point to and say, he is destined for Jahannam? Do you want this for yourself? Then we have to do something about it. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he has created them for Jahannam, this is not the zulm of Allah on the human being. What can I do if I am created for Jahannam, I am going there? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the formats which will go to Jahannam and gave us the freedom to fit ourselves into that format if we wish. Allah created the format of those who will go to Jannah. If you remember some of the khutbahs earlier, we talked about the qualities of people of Jannah. That's the format. And Allah gave us the opportunity to fit ourselves into that format. So the ones who go and end up in Jahannam, do it on their own. They do it with their own will, and with their own money, and with their own effort, and with their own irada, and with their own quwwat and taqat, which Allah has given them control over for a little while in this life. So whenever we read ayat like this, don't get misled by saying, Allah said, I created for Jahannam, what can I do? I am supposed, no. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-'aliyyil 'azhim. If Allah had created for Jahannam, then there's no need to send the Nabi. He would have divided and dumped some into the fire and some into the garden for no rhyme or reason. No, no. The Nabi was sent, the Kitab was sent in order that we might put ourselves in the right framework, the right format. The formats have been created. The format for the Jahannam has been created. And it is left to the people where they want to fit themselves into. So I remind myself and you, let us make active and intelligent choices. We have become like sheep. And we just follow whoever is doing something. Ignorant and deaf and dumb. This is not what a Muslim is created for. A Muslim is not a sheep. A Muslim is the shepherd. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, did not say kullukum ghanam. He said kullukum ra'in. He did not say all of you are sheep. He said all of you are shepherds. And who is a shepherd? The one who will be questioned about what is in his control. Yes? What is the hadith? Is it kullukum ghanam? No. It's kullukum ra'in. Wa kullukum mas'ulun ar-ra'yati. And all of you will be questioned about what is given in your control. And therefore, let us understand this. Let us not behave like sheep and behave like, you know, monkeys. We imitate everything. No, we don't imitate. If we do something, we do it consciously as a matter of choice. So naturally, we do not make choices of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore sent us a format and warned us. And he said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu udkhulu fis silmi kaffa wa la tattabi'u khutuwatish shaytan innahu lakum aduwwum mubin. He said, O you who believe, the ayah is addressed to the believers. Two points. First of all, anytime Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, it is a hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, in this particular case, reflect on this. The ayah is addressed to the believers. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. And then what is Allah saying? Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Enter into Islam fully. Today we have become used to an idea. I don't know from this idea comes from shaitan. That just because my name is a Muslim name, and just because I was born in a Muslim home, and just because I follow some part of Islam or the other, I make salah once in a while or I do something, khalas, this is enough. If that was enough, then why this ayah? Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling the Muslims to enter into Islam? If he is already a Muslim, then where is the question of entering into Islam? He is already in Islam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say. Allah said, "Udkhulu fi silmi kafatan," completely. What does it mean? It means that we bring Islam into every aspect of our lives. Not only into some aspects of ibadah. Not only into some aspects of some works of khair, sadaqat and this and that. Every aspect. How we speak, our akhlaq, our muamilat, dealings with people, our muashira, our society, how we celebrate our weddings, how we celebrate our funerals, or how we not celebrate the funeral, but how we perform the funerals. How are we in a state of happiness? How are we in a state of sadness? How are we inside the privacy of our homes with our families? How are we on the public platform in a public place? Everything must be governed by the Sharia of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and must follow his blessed Sunnah. Then we can say, I have entered into Islam fully. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us and to show us the way to do this and give us the courage to make the right choices. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked a question to the believers. أَلَمْ أَعْهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا الشَّيْطَانَ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُّبِينٌ وَأَنِ اعْبُدُونِي هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُّسْتَقِيمٌ وَلَقَدْ أَضَلَّ مِنكُمْ جِبِلًّا كَثِيرًا أَفَلَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْقِلُونَ. In Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, did I not ordain for you, O children of Adam alayhi salam, that you should not worship shaitan? Verily, he is a plain enemy to you, and that you should worship me. That is the straight path. And indeed, the shaitan did lead astray a great multitude of you. Did you not still understand? Now you might say, where am I worshipping shaitan? But as we have said before, and I've explained all of this in detail, obedience is worship. Ita'at is ibadah. And therefore, obeying shaitan is to worship shaitan. Obeying Allah is to worship Allah. Obeying Allah is to worship Allah. Are we restricting it to saying the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only when I am performing salah? No. Any obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worship of Allah. So therefore, the obedience to someone other than and in, especially in conflict to the orders of ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the worship of that. And Allah warned us against this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ أَزْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ ثُمَّ عَارَضَ عَنْهَا إِنَّ مِنَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُنْتَقِمُونَ. In Surah Sajda, Allah said, who is more wrong? وَمَنْ أَزْلَمْ, who is doing more zulm? Who is more wrong than the one who is reminded of the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he turns aside from them? One is to forget. One is to deliberately deny. When somebody has pointed out something to you, please don't do this. This is not permitted in Islam. Please do this. This is what Allah has ordered. We turn our face because we don't feel like doing it. We don't feel like doing it. My brothers and sisters, we use all kinds of clever arguments. Not only to misguide ourselves, but to misguide others. Remember, such people will recall all these arguments. And they will regret that they made them. And they will say, if we had any intelligence, we would not be among the people of the fire. I remind you and myself not to be misguided by our so-called friends, who do their best to take us with them in their single-minded pursuit of the disobedience of Allah. If we do this, and this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to say about the scene on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِذَا أُلْقُوا فِيهَا سَمِعُوا لَهَا شَهِيقًا وَهِيَ تَفُورُ تَكَادُوا تَمَيَّذُ مِنَ الْغَيْظِ كُلَّمَا أُلْقِيَ فِيهَا فَوْجٌ سَأَلَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ نَذِيرٌ قالوا بلى قد جاءنا نذير فكذبنا وقلنا ما نزل الله من شيء إن أنتم إلا في ضلال كبير. وقالوا لو كنا نسمع أو نعقل ما كنا في أصحاب السعير فاعترفوا بذنبهم فسوقا لأصحاب السعير إن الذين يخشون ربهم بالغيب لهم مغفرة وأجر كبير. In Surah Al-Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described, He said, when they are cast into the hellfire, they will hear the terrible drawing in of its breath as it blazes forward. I don't know how many of you have lived in a cold country. If you live in a cold country, and in those, nowadays they have electric heaters, but if you live in a, if you are in a room with a fireplace, and you put in the fire and you light the fire, and the chimney sucks up the air, and the fire blazes, you can hear the fire. You can hear the sound of the fire. The taking in of the breath of the fire. We ask Allah to protect us from this. Subhanallah. You can hear the fire, not just see the fire. And that's what the Quran is describing. Right? We ask Allah's protection. Allahumma ajirna min an-nar ya Rabb. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when they are cast therein, they will hear the terrible drawing in of its breath as it blazes forth. It almost bursts up with fury every time a group is cast therein. And then before they throw them inside, the keepers of the Jahannam, they will say, Alam yatikum nazir. Nobody warned you about this. Nobody told you about this. And then what will they say? Qalu bala qad ja'ana nazirun fakadhabna. They said, of course they warned us. Of course they warned us. Why not? Qalu bala. Of course they warned us. Fakadhabna. But we denied them. We said, you are liars. مَا قُلْنَا نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ كَبِيرٍ. And we denied them. And we said that Allah did not send you anything. And you are the ones who are misguided. We said this to the Anbiya. We said this to the people who came to warn us about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah forgive us and may Allah protect us from this. And then they will say, قَالُوا بَلَا. And then they will say, وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ وَنَاخِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. They will say, had we but listened. وَقَالُوا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَاقِلُ. Had we but listened and used our intelligence. We were those who the world thought of as very intelligent. People say, wow man, that man is smart. How can a man be smart if he's leading you towards Jahannam? Subhanallah, ajib. We have changed our criteria of what is good and what is bad. We have changed our criteria of what is honorable and what is dishonorable. We have changed our criteria of what gives izzat and what gives zillat. We say, so-and-so is from a very big family. Bade khandan ka aadmi hai. Bhai khandan kyon bada hai? Bahut maaldar hai. Bas maal, nothing else. Ab ye sawal unse kijiye ki bhai is khandan mein kitne ulama paida hue. Is khandan ke logon ne deen ki daawat ka kya kaam kiya? In khandan ke logon ne dusre khair ke kaam kya kya kiye? You ask them, this family, how many ulama are from this family? How many people of daya of deen are from this family? How many people in this family have done great works of great benefit to all of mankind? Nothing, nothing. So what have they done with their wealth? They bought Mercedes cars. They bought race horses to run in the races. They spend money on gambling. And they spend money on ostentatious weddings. And they spend money on all sorts of ostentatious display of vulgar display of wealth. And they collected junk. And they called them curios and they called them artifacts. Subhanallah. This is the sign of greatness. This is greatness. That you walk around with pieces of metal around your neck just because it's yellow, it's still metal. Try and eat it. And you think this is izzah to walk around with yellow chains around your neck. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. To walk around with stones around your neck. Figment of the imagination. Piece of carbon. Piece of carbon. It's junk. Coal is better because you can burn the coal and warm yourself on a cold night. On a cold night, if you are surrounded, if you are sitting in the tundra, and you are surrounded, you are sitting on a heap of diamonds, and surrounded by diamonds, you will freeze to death. Same carbon. But that carbon, if it was coal, you would thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Yalla alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, I've got so much of carbon around me. But carbon which I can use, at least I can burn it and make a fire and warm myself and save my life. It's not diamonds. What will you do with diamonds? Eat diamonds? See how our standards have changed. We value junk. We value garbage. We fight over junk and garbage. Court cases between brothers and sisters, breaking the relationships of the Raham for a piece of mud and brick called a building. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. You will take this palace with you in your qabr? Even if you take it with you in a qabr, what's going to happen? Subhanallah, ajib. I mean, please people, I mean, use intelligence for God's sake. I mean, why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given us a brain? The brain is not garbage in the pot which is your head to grow your hair. The brain is not hair manure. The brain is to be used. Use your brains. Don't just follow people blindly. This world is built on the God and religion of consumerism. And they have got only one goal. And that goal is to make you buy more and buy more and buy more and buy more until you go into your cupboard. That's it. Just buy and buy and buy. So what, to make you buy and buy, what must they do? They must show you that creating of garbage, wastage, ostentation is a virtue. I must change my whole furniture of the house. Why? Because it's old. Is it bad? No, it's not bad. But I know I had it for a year. So now I need new furniture. What will you do with the old furniture? Throw it somewhere. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Not replacing of something which has completed its use. Just new things, new things, new things. Why? Don't follow like sheep. Because the ending of sheep is not good. Huh? The ending of sheep is not good. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade us from oppression, from baghi. Subhanallah, to understand the meaning of oppression, the meaning of rebellion, we first have to see what you are rebelling against and what is the standard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. The standard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us is, he said, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْ رُسُلِهِ وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَعَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. This is the standard. This is the gold standard. This is the standard of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in. Sami'na wa ata'na. Ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Oh Allah, we hear and we obey. No arguments. No arguments. No hesitation. No reluctance. We hear and we obey. We obey happily. We obey with joy. We obey knowing that in this there is benefit for us. I remind myself and you that alhamdulillah we have the best standard that history can ever produce for us to emulate. A standard that promises the best in this world and the next. Now who would be foolish to leave that standard and deliberately adopt a standard of those who will not only surely lose the akhirah, but who are intensely unhappy with their own lives in this world. I can say probably safely that almost everybody in this masjid has been to the West, one or the other countries of the West. Don't just go to have a holiday. Don't just go to meet your relatives. Open your eyes and see. Open your eyes and see what is happening in the West. See that the amazing level of fear that is there in people. Not fear of the akhirah. Fear of this dunya. What will happen to me in this dunya? Amazing level of fear of starvation in countries which talk about their amazing high standard of life. Amazing lack of generosity. They will not give you a glass of water if they can help it. And subhanAllah, you go to our Muslim countries. See the level of generosity in those Muslim countries. Poor people. I'm not talking about some big sheikh who's got an oil well. I'm talking about the guy in the village. The guy in the village. When I used to live in Saudi Arabia, alhamdulillah, I've had cases. We stop for Maghrib, and sometimes it's not even Ramadan, but it may be a Monday or a Thursday. So they assume that you are fasting because they are also fasting. Children will come, grab your hand and pull you and say, please come and sit here, have futur with us. One of them took away my shoes. So I can't leave him now, I have to go behind him because of my shoes. So I told him, my brother is there. He said, I am your brother. I am not your brother. And those kids know how to argue. Eh? Generosity. Big hearts. They may not have material, big hearts. When you see that the road which you are following, the standard which you are trying to follow, the people who already have that standard are so unhappy. What sense does it make to follow the same standard? Tell me. What sense does it make? My brothers and sisters, ask yourselves, why is the entertainment industry so successful? It's successful because it takes you into a world of make-believe and helps you to forget your reality, which is so bad and stressful that unless you cop out periodically, you will lose your sanity. So people seek forgetfulness, ghafla. In Islam, ghafla is haram. But people seek it. They pay money to become ghafil for a few hours. And society values this cop-out more than anything else. Society values this cop-out more than scientific development. Don't worry about all the trash they want to sell you to say scientific development is the best. It's not the best. These cop-outs are the best. And they value these cop-outs more than they value scientific development. Society values this more than teaching, more than law and order, more than government, more than compassion, more than kindness, more than every other thing. So what is my proof that society values these mental cop-outs more than all of these things which can give benefit to people? What is my proof? My proof is what I call the wages of sin. What do film actors make? What do rock stars and pop stars make? What do your entertainment and all those monkeys who dance on the stage, what do they make? What you pay one of those monkeys for one performance will feed a teacher and his household for 7 generations. Eh? And I'm not exaggerating, you know this. I'm giving you actual numbers and figures. And that's why, amazing thing is this. The entertainment programs, and I sent out a table of prime time advertising rates. And you know on American TV, the program that makes the largest amount of money, highest prime time advertising rates. Do you think it's a Discovery Channel program? Do you think it's a science program? It's American Idol. Can you imagine anything more idiotic than American Idol? You know what is the, if you want to advertise during American Idol primetime rate, you know what that is? $750,000 per 30-second slot. $1.5 million for a one-minute ad. $1.5 million for a one-minute ad. Entertainment industry. And that's why in Disney, who gets the maximum customers? Not Epcot Center. Looney Tunes. Why? Because looking at Mickey Mouse makes me forget my reality. Looking at Goofy makes me forget my reality. Yeah, all these young fellows, especially the new faces I'm seeing, how come this sheikh knows about Mickey Mouse? The sheikh knows a lot more than you think the sheikh knows, believe me. You know, I was asked when I used to live in America, somebody asked me, they said, Can you write us something or tell us something about the forms of entertainment that were there at the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his sahaba? From the seerah, what are the forms of entertainment that we can find? Because we want to do this halal entertainment. You know, after all kinds of research, you know what I found? Two things. Three things. Foot race, running, archery, and horse riding. And then I realized all these three were actually military training. They were not entertainment. They had fun doing it. That's a different matter. But these are things of military training. These are things of building the body. Things of creating, you know, tarbiyatul rijal, as we say. Part of tarbiyatul rijal. It is a part of the tarbiyah of men. Not entertainment. The sahaba didn't have time for entertainment, man. There were people who were focused on their goal. They were there to change the world. They didn't have time to go and talk to Mickey Mouse. You get the point I'm saying? They were focused. They had a purpose in life. I'm asking myself and I'm asking you, what is your maqsad? Why do you exist? Please write it down if you haven't written it down. Many of you have come to my classes. I've told you this. And so many of you have written it. Those who haven't, write it down. Write down your maqsad in life. Why do you exist? And then bring it down to what you do on a daily basis and see whether your life, your maqsad is being fulfilled or this maqsad is one of those nice Holy Motherhood statements. I am here because I want to reach Jannah. MashaAllah, very nice. So, how are you going to get there, boss? For one thing, you got to die first, right? But before that dying, you have to do some things. So, all these, I call them Holy Motherhood statements. Nice sounding, you know, global statement. Doesn't work. You need an actual hardcore maqsad. Why do you exist? To do what? If you stopped, if you were removed, and one day you and I will be removed from the surface of the earth, what will be lost? Who will miss you, apart from your family or whoever? And sometimes, some of us live life where the family says, Alhamdulillah. They don't say it loudly, but they say, Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his dua after all. Khalas. Ajib. My brothers and sisters, please understand that the Anbiya came to be obeyed. Please understand that Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set a standard for us. That standard is not just a standard as a matter of intellectual knowledge. It's a standard to be obeyed, it's a standard to be followed, and it's a standard on which we will be held responsible. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا فَهُمْ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. For people who believe in the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who expect to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much. So who were the sahaba and what was the sense of being part of this ummah and what was the standard that they came to show us? I will end with a famous story from the seerah of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, which many of you have heard me say before, but alhamdulillah, good things must be repeated. There's a story about a boy, a young man, who was brought into the majlis of Amirul Mumineen, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And he was arrested and brought into this majlis and he was accused of murder. There were two other young people who had him, arrested him, caught him by both his arms, and they brought him and they said, Amirul Mumineen, this boy, this man, he killed our father. And we want justice. I'm talking about the standard that was set for us. Think about it. They said, Amirul Mumineen, he killed our father and we want justice. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu asked him, what happened? He said, Amirul Mumineen, my camel strayed into the garden of their father. So I went behind his camel. He said, the man, he picked up a stone and he hit the camel in the face and the eye of my camel burst. So my animal was in terrible agony and I got so angry that I picked up a stone and I threw it and the stone hit the man in the head and he died. He said, I didn't go there in order to kill him. It was not premeditated murder, but yes, I killed him. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab said to the sons of this man who died, they said, are you willing to take diya, to take, you know, money? They said, no. Blood for blood. Life for life. Now, while this was happening, this young man asked Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu a question. He said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, whatever you decide, you decide. Whatever is my qadr will happen. But I have a request. He said, my issue is that there are only two of us in this world, in my family. It's me and my young brother. We have no parents. Father passed away, mother passed away. Now my father, when he died, he gave me some gold and said, give it to your brother when he comes of age. He said, I have kept this gold in a safe place, far away from here, because I am not from Medina. I am an ajnabi here. So the gold is in my place. Now maybe you are going to pronounce sentence on me and maybe I will be killed, in which case my brother will be deprived of his inheritance. And I will not be able to fulfill the promise that I gave to my father. So he said, give me a time of 3 days. I want to go there and take this gold and give it to my brother, and then I will come back here. Right? Now Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, he looked at him, he said, what kind of question is this? You are about to be sentenced to death and you are telling me, let me go for 3 days and come back, and you will come back to be killed? He said, what is this? The man said, well, I can do that. I mean, this is what I'm telling you. I will come. So then Umar ibn al-Khattab said, well, we just can't take your word for it. If anyone, however, in this majlis or anyone anywhere is willing to stand zamanat for you, if somebody is willing to put yourself in his place and stand surety for you, then I will let you go. So the narrator of the story of the seerah says that the young man, he looked at everyone in the majlis, and he said nobody could meet his eyes. Anyone who looked at, he looked down. Anyone who the man looked at, looked away. No one could meet his eyes. And he said, in a matter of sheer despair, the young man, he just caught his head and he sat down. And he said, at that time, they heard a voice in the back of the courtroom. He said they heard a big deep voice at the back of the courtroom. And when they looked, they saw a huge big man, very dark in complexion, a warrior dressed like a warrior, very powerful, very strong. And he said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, I will stand guarantee for this boy. Let him go. And who was that man? Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab looked at him, he said, Abu Dharr, he said, do you know what you are doing? He said, remember this, that no matter how much pain it gives me, if this boy does not come back at the end of 3 days, he said, I will chop your neck. Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu is among the muqarrabin, insha'Allah, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is among the ulul azm of the sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. He is a man on whose da'wah the entire tribe of Ghifar became Muslim. And because the entire tribe of Ghifar became Muslim, the entire tribe of Aslam became Muslim. On the da'wah of one man, two huge tribes became Muslim. This is the man, one day he was passing in the distance when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with Jibreel alayhi salam. And Jibreel alayhi salam said, Ya Rasulullah, there is your friend Abu Dharr. He said, there is your friend. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you know Abu Dharr? Ya Jibreel? Jibreel alayhi salam said, Ya Rasulullah, why only me? Which of us, meaning which of the malaika, do not know your friend Abu Dharr Ghifari? We want fame, eh? This is the meaning of fame, where malaika take your name. Malaika take your name. Jibreel alayhi salam said, which of the malak, which of the angels do not know your friend Abu Dharr Ghifari? And that Abu Dharr Ghifari stands up and says, I will be guarantor for this boy. So Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, fine, if Abu Dharr is your guarantee, you can go. The boy left. Day one, day two, day three, time for Salatul Asr. The two young men whose father was killed came to Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu and they said, please come with us. The boy has not come back. Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu said, I will come with you, but there is time for the day. The day ends only with Maghrib. It's now only time for Asr. We will go and we will stay with the Amir al-Mu'mineen and we will see what happens. Now imagine the scene in Medina. The whole city is there. Packed. They don't know what is going to happen today. Is a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam going to be executed because he was guarantor for an unknown ajnabi Muslim boy? Almost time for the Salat of Maghrib. Almost time for Adhan. They hear a commotion in the distance. They see a cloud of dust. And the crowd parts. And this young man comes back. He's covered in dust. He's breathing hard because he has been running. And he says, Amirul Mu'mineen, I am back. Release Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu. I am back to be executed. Do what you have to do. People are astounded. They're absolutely speechless. Can you imagine? Does this sound real to you? Like a fairy tale, yeah? Subhanallah, ajeeb. The lives of the Sahaba today have become fairy tales for us. Khasas, khafakat. Not waqiyat. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu asked the boy. He said, you know, I'm surprised you came back. He said, tell me, why didn't you run away? He said, I gave you 3 days time. And I did not send spies behind you. I did not send an escort with you. I could have done all that. I did not do any. I just let you go for 3 days. He said, why didn't you run away? The boy said, yeah, Amirul Mu'mineen. Where will I run away? He said, I can run from you. But where will I run from your Rabb? And then he said something. And that is the purpose of this entire story to tell you. Think, because that is you and that is me. And the boy said, Amirul Mu'mineen, there is another reason I did not run away. And he said, that reason is, I do not want it to be said that a Muslim gave his word and he did not keep it. He said, I don't want it to be said that a Muslim gave his word and he did not keep it. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab turned to Abu Dharr Ghifari and he said, Ya Abu Dharr. He said, you are among the people who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved. He said, what would have happened? What a terrible tragedy it would have been. That this boy had come and maybe he came late. But by the time he came, you have already been executed. Why did you stand up and give your guarantee? How could Medina have tolerated such a tragedy? Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu said, he said, yeah, Amirul Mu'mineen, I sat in the back of your courtroom in the city of my Habib Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said I saw that a Muslim was asking for help and there was no one to help him. He said, I stood up because I do not want it to be said that a Muslim can ask for help from his brothers and they will not help him. He said, I do not want it to be ever said that if a Muslim asks for help, there will be no one to help him. So I stood up. He said, if I had died, that tragedy would be far less than the tragedy that people would say that Muslims do not help one another. I'm talking about a sense of what does it mean to be an ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When these two conversations finished, the two boys who had arrested this boy, they stood up and they said, yeah, Amirul Mu'mineen, we do not want it to be said that our brother asked for forgiveness and we could not find forgiveness in our hearts. We forgive him. We do not want diya. What happened was the qadr of our father. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Release him. Let him go. People who understood what it meant to be a Muslim. My brothers and sisters, I will end with asking you and myself only one question. And I ask myself this question. And I ask you to ask yourself this question. And the question is, am I a Muslim? جزاك الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك ونشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب اليك.